Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, LeBron James has missed three straight games due to knee swelling. Can the Lakers afford to be cautious with him? And the Splash Brothers showed out on Saturday night against the Nets. What were Kirk and Richard's biggest takeaways from that performance? Plus, Joel Embiid is listed as the MVP favorite. Where is he on your MVP list? All that and more, because NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews, joined by our senior writer, Ramona Shelburne. We also have a couple of old NBA champs with us, and a football player, apparently, Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins. We're going to get into all of the news around the league, including Joe Ingles' injury and the impact it may have on the Utah Jazz. I don't know what we're going
this
to do.
This is ever.
We're going to start with taking a look back at the Hawks and Lakers. That game was yesterday. The Hawks, they have won seven straight games, thanks to 36 points and 12 dimes from Trae Young. That's Trae's 12th 30-point 10 assist game this season. That is by far the most in the NBA. And then for the Lakers, Anthony Davis is starting to look like his old self. He put up 27 points and 5 boards, with 18 of those points coming in the Lakers' 71-point first half. And then there's Russell Westbrook, who went for 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 12 assists in the loss. And the Lakers, remember, they were without LeBron James. Before the game, Frank Vogel said this about LeBron's status. He said, as long as the swelling is there, quote, he's going to be out and we'll get him back as soon as we can. So Ramona, I want to start with you here. What are you hearing about LeBron's knee injury?
Well, it's described to me as just wear and tear. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they did imaging on his knee. It came back clean except for the swelling. You just got to get the swelling out. And there's a chance he plays on Wednesday, but you shouldn't really read into whether he plays or not in terms of the severity of that injury. He's not going to play until they get the swelling out, because this is his 19th year. You don't want to push it.
So the Lakers don't sound too concerned, but how concerned should they be, Richard?
I don't think they should be. Again, this is just fatigue. This is more of like, I'm talking about the health of LeBron, not their overall season, their team. I'm talking about the health of LeBron. I don't think they should be that concerned. This is something that pops up. It's in his 19th season. He's played more minutes than anyone in NBA history. There's going to be some flare-ups at certain times.
And that's why you should be concerned, for all the reasons you just pointed out. He's in his 19th season, all the minutes, the wear and tear. But again, watching the game, this is why you bring in Russell Westbrook and you have Anthony Davis. You think that they should be able to take the load off of Braun. But Braun has been asked to do so much. Now they're to this point, so they should be concerned.
Every day that he is out, okay, somebody in the Lakers said, every day he's out, we sink. I mean, that is, this is so much on a guy who's 37 years old.
So perhaps that answers my next question, Perk. How long can the Lakers really afford here to be without LeBron? Can it be for an extended period of time?
No. Hell no. Look, here's the thing. Yesterday I was watching the game. I'm like, okay, the Lakers up by 9 at halftime. They got it going. I'm watching them play with a different type of swag. And then all of a sudden, they go back to their old habits. It's like the spirit on the defensive end. Like, yeah, you get whatever you want on our end. Like, the rookie came in off the bench, and I believe he had 16 points. 8 of those were dunks. They're not in transition, just in the half-court set. So I'm looking, you've got Dwight Howard. He subs into the game. He's pouting up and down the damn floor. I'm watching his body language. To me, when I looked at that game last night and overall, the bright spot has been Malik Monk, right? So I think that the offense really should start having him more involved more than they really do now. Like, this guy is showing us that he wanted his player with passion. So, I mean, the Lakers, they are who they are. I said it weeks ago.
I don't see that. I hate telling good people, you know, bad things, but I just don't, I really, well, not you, but most people. The Lakers are not going to really have an impact at the end of the season. They're not going to really have an impact in the postseason. That is my personal opinion. Given the way they're playing, given the history of injury, given all of these things and the way the top teams are playing, I just feel like the Lakers are going to get into the postseason and then they're probably going to struggle through, and then this offseason they've got a lot of stuff to make. And now we're saying this literally at the All-Star break.
But here's what, they've played 16 games with Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and LeBron James. 16!
Yeah.
That's not a large sample size, and they look pretty darn good the last time we saw them in Brooklyn with those three guys. LeBron James is the key to it, though. And if he's not out there, they sink. And I think you watch that game. They're up going into the fourth quarter. You can't get a defensive effort on the road in a game that you need to win. That's winnable.
Right, but this isn't all about the Lakers and their struggles, because the Hawks, I mentioned it, they won seven in a row, and that's in part thanks to an offense that's scoring almost 120 points per 100 possessions and shooting an NBA best 51% of the floor during the win streak. And then the defense, it hasn't been bad either. They rank fifth in defensive efficiency during that streak. So, Perk, do you think the Hawks can sort of replicate what they did last season with the hot second half that then resulted them going into the conference finals?
You know what? I really do. I do. Because they play with a different spirit, and it's because they actually have a superstar on their team in Trae Young. He is a superstar. I was watching him last night, and I've been watching him over this win streak. He cannot be guarded. No one could guard him. Like, you just got to hope that Trae miss. I mean, that's when he's shooting those long-range threes. But with him having those live threat guys at the basket with Capella and Collins and the rookie that's coming in off the bench, Trae Young has been phenomenal. And I think that he has found that edge. I thought he... they were down a little bit. He was out for a while, and now they got their swag back. So I do think that, I'm not saying they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I do think they're going to get back into the postseason.
Well, this is the team that everybody expected them to be, right? Like, look, I'm glad that they're playing well now. But you look at the Phoenix Suns that had a ton of success.
Yep.
They showed back up, locked in from the jump. Let's go. We're not going to sit here and ease our way into the postseason. So I hope that Atlanta can replicate what they did in the second half. But also, you have questions in Atlanta. What happened in that first half? You signed everybody. You brought everybody back. And even though GM was like, hey, maybe we gave the wrong people some money, or maybe we just shouldn't have brought back everyone, because they weren't duplicating the same effort that they had in the second half of the season. But since he said that, and over this last couple of weeks, they have started playing outstanding basketball.
Also, this is a team that a couple weeks ago, before this streak started, you started to hear them be very active in the trade market.
Mm-hmm.
People know about that. I still think, if you would ask, I talked to somebody in the land today, if you would ask them a couple weeks ago, are they going to stick with what they have and just ride in the second half of the year, the answer would have been different a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're playing right now and the way they played last year, it looks like they're heading for that same turnaround. And as you said, Richard, when you put stuff on the table like that, when people hear their names and trade
talks. Cam Reddish gone, right? And that's not a knock on Cam.
John Collins obviously got paid, had heard his name in some trade conversations,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, a lot better right now.
So do you expect to see maybe less activity than we would have a couple of weeks ago at the trade deadline for Atlanta now?
I still think they're out there. I think they're still very interested in Ben Simmons. There's still discussions around that. This gives you pause, though, to say, well, maybe they should just let this ride.
Mm.
It makes the decision a little more complicated about whether you should make some deal.
Right, and Richard mentioned it. Trae Young missed an extended period of time when he was dealing with COVID-19. He was so looking forward to playing in that Christmas Day game. That gets taken away from him in a sense. He wasn't symptomatic, so he was incredibly frustrated with that whole streak, getting that time to gel. But last season, I got to sit down with Trae right before they were playing in the conference finals against the Milwaukee Bucks, and Trae said, I'm not going to be satisfied until I bring a championship to Atlanta. And now he's sort of starting to play like that. Like, he's not satisfied yet.
Yeah.
But you know who else is starting to play a little like that? Kyrie Irving. Coming up on NBA Today. Kyrie Irving looked great against the Warriors this weekend. Is this more significant than the next? Plus, Joel Embiid's MVP odds was 50-1 as recently as 2 weeks ago, but right now, he's the MVP favorite. So what are his chances to win? And NBA champion J.R. Smith joins the show. We'll talk about him playing golf at college these days and give him some dirt on Richard Burke.
What?
NBA Today is brought to you by Horizon Forbidden West, rated T for Teen.
Good matchup of two of the elites, two teams that have dreams of a championship.
We all up in the game, but we ain't come to play the game. Before it's done, you know my name.
Wiggins on the follow. You're an all-star. Smile and acknowledge. Brooklyn, they were down by 19, and then the Magician started.
That's how it works in the NBA. Everything changes quickly. You got to be more solid.
Tops of the corner three. Got it. The Splash Brothers have come alive. A thrilling fourth quarter here in San Francisco. The Warriors win it 110-106.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So as you saw in the recap, the Warriors beat the Nets on Saturday. Steph had 13 of his 19 points in the fourth quarter, while Klay Thompson finished with 16, including a huge three-pointer. He hit it with 12 seconds left to seal the victory. So, Richard, your biggest takeaway from this game was what?
Okay, I want to address a couple of things. One, big perk. I don't like to give him credit. He said Patty Mills is going to be one of the, and Patty Mills played outstanding.
I think I gave you credit.
In the moment. So, like,
I'll
give you some credit on the Patty Mills. I think for me, when I look at this Warriors team, when you go back and look at the 2016 team, they had Harrison Barnes as that kind of third scorer. And, you know, look, Harrison struggled in one of the postseasons. Then they replaced him with Kevin Durant. That's an absolute different problem that was never going to be addressed. And so then when you have Andrew Wiggins, now Wiggins is kind of like an in-between Harrison and KD. He's a little, with all due respect to my guy HB, he's a little bit more aggressive offensively and more athletic, but he's not quite Kevin Durant. But so if Wiggins plays like that, everything else is going to be fine. If you've got a third-tier scorer that is a starter in the All-Star game, they still don't have Draymond. They were able to win the game only shooting 39%. That was my biggest takeaway, is that if Steph can struggle and all the things that can happen and they can still win that game, the Warriors are going to be a problem fully loaded.
I'm doubling down on that.
Okay.
It was Andrew Wiggins. We knew Steph and Klay, they took them home in the fourth quarter, but throughout the course of the game, when you talk about on both ends of the floor, we got to start mentioning Andrew Wiggins as far as one of the better two-way players in the game today. Able to go out there, get you 18 to 20, and he's defending. I don't know exactly where he ranks as far as blocking shots at the wing position, but it got to be top five.
Well, and not to mention the dramatic turnaround for Andrew Wiggins from what we saw from him previously to what he's been able to do in Golden State. That's not something that's easy, because when you start to get that rap as sort of the player who isn't quite there, who can he even be a third option? That was the conversation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can he be a third option? Is he going to be a trade asset for them at all? And now he's become a part of their core.
Well, you know, it speaks to their culture. And like I said before, it's the first time that he don't have to have the expectations of being the number one pick. So now,
absolutely,
I don't have to be the number one option. I don't have to show the world that I'm capable of being a franchise guy. I could come in here, I could let Steph and Klay do their thing, and now I could be the third option guy, which I probably won't have the best defender on me.
You're going to have the third or fourth best defender guarding you, and trust me, that is a great place to live.
Yes.
That is a great place to live. And,
yes.
And look, this is why people, I think, when they get so down on players or they get down on, it's like, you don't understand. If you're in a bad organization, if you're in a place that's not run well, the view of you can be completely different. And then when he came over to a great organization in Golden State, it took him time. It took him time to understand the unselfishness, to understand the culture, to understand all the things. And then once he started to figure out, he started becoming the player that everyone believed he can be. But that is also an indictment on a lot of organizations out there that don't run their programs very, very well. They don't do the development, because Golden State, here, we'll take him and turn him into an all-star starter.
Well, and by all accounts, everyone in Golden State just enjoys being around Andrew Wiggins, from the PR staff to the players to the coaches. It's something where they didn't even know necessarily what they were going to be able to turn him into, what he would be able to become.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he's a starter in the All-Star game. And then on the net side of the game, Kyrie Irving, he finishes the game's top scorer, scoring 32 in a loss without James Harden. He was a late scratch due to a strained right hand. So here's Kyrie reacting to the Nets' four-game losing streak. Take a listen.
It's not the first time in my career that I've lost four in a row. It's not the first time Steve's lost four in a row. It's not the first time James lost four in a row. Like, a lot of us have lost games consecutively. What I've learned, and I think other guys could echo this sentiment, is just, we can't be fragile. People are going to come at us. No, nobody's going to feel bad, whether this guy's in the lineup, this guy's not in the lineup. Every team is competing for those top four positions. we're one of those teams that have aspirations of playing down in the late postseason. It's not going to get easier on this road trip, so it's no time to be fragile.
Kyrie is absolutely right. It is not going to get any easier. They face the Suns. They have the best record in the league tomorrow night. So, Richard, despite this losing streak, how are you viewing Kyrie's big night?
I think Kyrie's 100% right. One thing that I will do is I will compliment Kyrie, because whatever work he was doing prior to him coming back this season, he was putting in actual work.
Absolutely.
I don't care what, he's got to get in NBA shape. That is something that's always said because it's so difficult. Kyrie was working because he's come back and he's been a force. Like, he's played in every game and all the different things. The only biggest problem is, at most, Kyrie is available for 36 games this season.
Right.
Now, he missed the first portion of road games because they were trying to figure out. But the fact that he's only available for 36, because he can't play in Toronto, he can't play in Brooklyn, he can't play in Madison Square Garden. So really, it's like, this is a great player that you want. You're just never going to get the full amount of him. And I think that that's always going to be the question at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, you know, Kyrie Irving is one of those guys that come out of his mother's womb, still has Similac on his breath, and is ready to go get buckets.
That was so visceral.
Yeah, but it's so real. You know, some of those guys, some guys have to train. I was one of them. You was one of them. You have to get back into rhythm. He's just not one of them. He's one of those hoopers. And what he did the other night was special. But I'm mad because we're not going to be able to see it every night. And now I'm really starting to have concerns. At first I was like, you know what? I'd rather have a part time than no time. And that's still true. But I still would rather the Nets have a full time.
So how concerned are you then? Because they're also, so not only do they not have a full time Kyrie Irving, but LaMarcus Aldridge is on his way to get an MRI on his ankle right now. He's out against the Suns. They don't have Kevin Durant right now. James Harden in his hand. They're still dealing with that. Joe Harris isn't on this road trip. So this 4-game losing streak, as Richard's starting to flail about, how concerned are you?
I don't have any cool like Similac analogies
Stop
or anything.
Talking.
I just, yeah. My thing is this. If they still got Kevin Durant on their roster, if they still have James Harden on their roster, at the end of the day, that's what we're judging. You're going to play 100 games in the NBA. From preseason to regular season to all the different, you're going to play close to 100 games. You're going to have stretches where you don't play well, where things just don't align, a tough stretch, guys out. So should you worry? No. Are they playing great basketball? No. Do they have their lineup? No.
You should worry, RJ, and I'm disappointed in you, and I knew we
couldn't
agree.
Don't be fragile.
Agree.
So you being fragile
I'm
now.
Not being
Kyrie
fragile.
Calling you
I'm,
out right
I'm
now
not
for
being
fragile.
Fragile. I don't give a damn about what Kyrie got to say. Listen.
He don't care what you got to say.
And that's fine. But listen to what I'm telling you is this. You know this is not about the regular season. That's all you just pointed to.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the postseason. At the end of the day, guess what? The rotations slim down. You go to 8 to 9 guys. All of a sudden, that chemistry really needs to be there. Guys need to know where I'm coming in at. Like, when you're playing in a basketball game and you're in the playoffs, like, you want to know going into an arena, like, your set minutes or what's my role. Like, you know, playing on the squad when I was with the 08 Celtics, I knew I was going to play the first, second, and third quarter. I knew what time I was coming out. I knew if it was tight, Doc was going to go small, move KG at the five. Like, you need to know all these things. Those things matter, and you know it.
The one thing that I will say is this. The Nets are favored because of the amount of talent that they have.
Sure.
Not because of the quality of basketball that they are playing. Right now, they don't have that amount of talent, so they're not playing quality basketball.
But my thing is, isn't that what happened last year? It was the same discussion of, they have all the talent in the world, it'll just come together. But it never came together because they were never healthy enough to have it do so. Even in the playoffs, they had a couple of games, and then all of a sudden it was Kyrie's ankle and James Harden's hamstring, and they were never able to put it together.
A lot of management in the regular season. A lot of injury management in the regular season is to get you to the postseason healthy. So if Bron's got a little bit something going on with his knee, if James Harden's hamstring's a little tight, we're not going to push it. We'd rather sit you guys and have these stretches so that when we get to April, guys are a little bit more able to play push through certain
things. So you're saying chemistry don't matter?
No. I understand.
But as long as they got the talent.
If they're healthy and they have all of their guys, I think chemistry will take a
back. Yeah, but that is a big if because they haven't had that if come to
agreed.
Fruition
you might
yet.
Need a way to help.
All right, Richard,
all
you want to talk about your favorite subject?
What's my favorite subject?
Coming up on NBA Today, Ramona Shelburne is going to give us an update on Ben Simmons. She has details on how this started long
I'm sorry,
before
Ramona.
The 2021 playoffs. And it's interesting reporting. And NBA champ J.R. Smith for joining the show. So we'll get the latest on his college golf career and find out who the better teammate was. Was it Richard or was it Pearl? Plus, it's the best of the best from the weekend, the top of the top, and Ja Morant will definitely be involved. You know Perk's locked in. Stick around.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Live from Los Angeles, welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. You know it's Monday, so we are going coast to coast. And we're going to start with the Raptors outlasting the Heat in triple overtime on Saturday. All five Raptors starters played at least 50 minutes, and that's the first time that's happened in the shot clock era. So, Richard, is Fred VanVleet an all-star?
No. I like you, Fred. Hey, no, listen, I like him a lot.
It took him a minute to answer that.
It's hard. Okay, let me say this. He is the first one out. So if someone gets injured, then I think he would be the first one in. So will he make it into the All-Star game? He should. Do I think he would be on the original roster? I would say no.
Does he get in before Bradley Beal?
Or Darius Garland?
No, not Darius Garland.
Cleveland has to have representation. Yeah. I don't know. Fred VanVleet is playing All-Star, man. He's doing all the little things. And for an undrafted player to be an All-Star, that's only happened something like five times. So that would be incredible.
Huge fan.
Big fan of the way he plays. And that game was absolutely awesome. All right, moving ahead to last night. The Nuggets, they won their fifth straight game by blowing out the Bucks in Milwaukee by 36. And that's with Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday all playing. You already know that Jokic led the way, 18, 9, and 15. So, Perk, the Nuggets are the fifth seed in the West. Do you think they're going to end up staying in that range despite being so shorthanded?
I do. And I think it's not just because of Jokic, but it's because of Aaron Gordon. He's been playing phenomenal basketball. That's starting to cut and move without the basketball. Like, you look at guys like Holland. He came in off the bench, Bones Holland, and had a good night. So, I think the Nuggets are finally starting to find their identity a little bit. But most importantly, Jokic have a Robin, and that's Aaron Gordon.
What was that? I was just like, I don't know what to say, because Jokic, it's just the way he can dominate a game and get everyone else involved. We haven't seen many players in NBA history. He's up there with Magic, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, with doing everything for his team.
All right, let's go over to Utah, because Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Joe Ingles tore his left ACL in last night's loss to Minnesota, Utah's fifth in a row. Ingles' knee buckled on a drive to the basket yesterday, and then an MRI today confirmed the season-ending injury. So, Richard, how significant of a loss is this for the Jazz?
It's huge, because I think he's not just a great player and respected, but I think for the locker room, the culture, like all of the things, like he just does all the little things, and he's one of those guys that he allows for other players to be held accountable, because he's one of those guys that's always trying to play the right way, always trying to do the right things defensively. The Utah Jazz right now are in a very, very tough spot. They've been rolling. They had no real COVID stuff the last 2 years. They were in a very, very good spot.
Well,
but the last couple of weeks is when it's really, really hit them.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be a loss that they feel, because you mentioned it. It's on and off the court for Joe Ingles. He is so respected. He does so much for them. I think of last season when Jordan Clarkson won Sixth Man of the Year, and Joe Ingles was sitting there next to him, and they asked TNT crew, the fabulous TNT crew asked, well, how many Sixth Men has Utah have? And Joe Ingles said one, and Jordan Clarkson said zero. And Jordan Clarkson looked over like, who? And he said, it's you. And that's the kind of guy that he is in that locker room. Mm-hmm. He is so treasured. It's really unfortunate to see this. But Utah's going to have to step it up if they're going to kind of live up to the way they've played in the regular season the last couple of years.
They are. And it I don't know. It's just like the sense of urgency is not there. Even when Donovan Mitchell is playing, it's just not there. And I don't get it. Like, Donovan Mitchell used to be like this humble, hungry dog, like, has something to prove to the whole world. I don't see that no more. I don't see that same edge. I don't see that same tenacity. And then Mike Conley, He got a big bag. Like, you have to step up and deliver consistently.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to Joel Embiid, who continued his red hot play over the weekend. He dropped a cool 36 points to go along with 12 rebounds and 6 assists against the Kings on Saturday. So the process, I don't even know if you can call it the process. It's more like a meat processor at this point. They've been on a tear since Christmas, and it has led to huge change in his MVP odds over a very short period of time. So 2 weeks ago, Joel had 50-1 odds to win MVP. That's according to Caesars Sportsbook. And since then, he's averaged almost 38 points per game and seen his MVP odds go all the way to plus 240. That's the shortest in the entire NBA. So I'd like to welcome back Ramona Shelburne for our Sixers discussion. Ramona, you're an MVP voter. So where is Embiid in that race right now?
I mean, doesn't it feel a lot like last year? Embiid, Jokic, Giannis. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Ja Morant, those are all the names you're going to hear. But Joel Embiid has got the Sixers a game and a half out of first. A game, if he scores 34 points in his next game, he's going to be leading the league in scoring. He'll pass KD as a scoring leader in this league. I mean, this guy is, he's going to be back-to-back player of the month probably for January as well. I mean, we can go through the stats here, but he's going to be, he's on pace right now, guys, to average 30 points a game. I mean, for a center in this league to
tell him,
without Ben Simmons out
there. Give us the stat. You told us. Tell us. Who was the last big man to average 30?
You know what? Shaq never did it.
Shaq never did it?
I mean, centers don't do that. In this league, for him, he could get 30 points a game over the course of a whole season.
Well, it just came out that Joel Embiid is the Eastern Conference player of the week. But I feel like asking Perk if he's the MVP, him or Ja Morant, is like Sophie's choice.
Right, it is. But look, I had him picked as my preseason MVP because I thought he was going to come out and ball like he is without Ben Simmons because he had a lot, because he felt like he had a lot to prove. And we know how Joel Embiid mental is. But when you talk about averaging 30, and then we can't even think of another center to do that, not even Jokic.
Yep.
It's like it stamps what I was been preaching about him being so skilled. Also, we already know this too, and Ramona, you could contest to this, is about usually most of the time when you finish second in the MVP runnings, the following year, if you come back and you deliver, it's a high chance that he may win it, right?
Yeah. Well, and even when you look at the stats, like he's up there with Kareem, 17 straight games of 25 plus. Those are Kareem numbers. Mm-hmm. Do people forget about Kareem? Look at, these are my top three. And the reason why it's laid out this way is because, one, you got the points per game, you got the rebounds, you got the assists. Everyone's got their own dance that you can do. But there's always narrative. No Simmons, no Murray, no Porter. Only 24 games for the big three with Giannis. And look at where all three of these guys have their team sitting. Embiid is the most impressive, in my opinion, the fact that they are third. Now, obviously, the conference seeding can change from day to day, week to week. But right now, at this moment, the fact that he's got them in third place, he has a chance, if he scores 30, to be the number, to be the leading scorer in the league. He's got to be the favorite. Everyone right now is looking up, trying to catch Joel Embiid if you're trying to get an MVP.
You have to stop with the disrespect to Ja. Because Ja should be number three. No, bro, you really have to stop. They have the third best record in the NBA.
I was comparing the bigs.
It didn't say that. It didn't say that.
Okay,
three MVP candidates.
Let me say, it was the three bigs that I wanted to have. There was no Chris Paul. There was no Ja Morant. There was none of that. I wanted to compare those three bigs.
I want you to clarify that for the team.
Everyone, that meant that the three big men that have been dominating this league for the last couple of months and couple of years, that's what we were comparing.
All right,
okay?
Well.
Okay?
You accept it? You accept his apology? I feel like we're doing this like we're in preseason. All right, Ramona, you're plugged in on all things 76ers. So what is the franchise's attitude as we stand now towards Ben Simmons?
You know, it's interesting. When you talk to the team, it's like he's kind of invisible. Like, in the league, we all talk about it.
Mm.
Okay, what are they going to do with Ben Simmons? But I think there's a real push within that team. They get along very well. Ben Simmons is around. He gets a schedule every night around 10 o'clock. He says show up when you're supposed to show up, when everybody... He shows up to shoot around. He shows up to film sessions. Doesn't stay long. Doesn't do much.
it's like he's there, but he's not there. And right. The team just wants to stay focused on the season. Yeah. They're a game and a half out of first.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want this to become a distraction. We're obviously going to talk about it a lot as we approach February 10th. But if they don't do anything here, the most important concern the team has is, let's not let this derail the rest of our season.
So in the spirit of not letting it derail the rest of the season and also not wasting the play of Joel Embiid, what else are they looking to do as we get towards the trade deadline?
You know, it's funny, Malika. They would like a player who does exactly the same things you would say about Ben Simmons. Right? Playmaking, help the defense a bit. I mean, that sounds kind of like what Ben Simmons does. And if you talk to people in Philly, there are those who say, you know, if they don't trade him, do you really think he's going to sit out? I mean, Ben Simmons has been fined over $19 million this year. At some point, doesn't the money talk? Like, at some point?
At some point in time, he is talking. You're trying to say, does money talk? $19
million?
Like, he is talking. He is communicating, though. That's what I'm saying. He's like, $19 million, cool. Let me know when it hits 22, when it hits 25.
People say it's never been about the money. He's not going to just come back for the money. But let's see after February 10th if he's still on the Sixers.
It seemed like to me knowing Doc, is that the 76ers and Joel Embiid, the reason that they're in this position, they're using this Ben Simmons situation and Ben as motivation. Yeah. They're a motivated team that play together. Guys are stepping up. They enjoy playing with one another. I love to see it.
Well, and despite all of that that's happening, you still see Joel Embiid soaring to MVP favorite. I said he was named Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Chris Paul is Western Conference Player. So even though he wasn't in Richard Jefferson's graphic, a text popping up. Things are going crazy over here. I'm almost sorry. All right, coming up on NBA Today, J.R. Smith joins the show. To talk about his budding golf career, his name, image, and likeness deal, plus winning a title. Hey, look, there he is. We got a dog joining us, too.
That's where you got it from.
I love it. Oh, is that a big perk bulldog?
Yes.
Hey, it's a big perk bulldog next on NBA Today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
J.R. Smith! We just saw men fly! Oh, J.R. Smith throws it down!
That was so quick, you barely saw it.
Believe it, Cleveland! Savor it! The Cavaliers are NBA champions!
The last time I took my shirt off was after the game. I ain't put one on since.
J.R. Smith to play golf after enrolling at North Carolina A&T.
I can just play my game and, just have fun.
Welcome back to NBA Today. My next guest, he really needs no introduction, but I guess I'm going to introduce him anyway. It's two-time NBA champion and current member of the North Carolina A&T golf team, J.R. Smith. Welcome to NBA Today, J.R.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us from your car. Don't get any wrecks. Let's pull over and let's do this.
I'm over here by the Wawa now.
So I appreciate you. All right, we're going to bring in a couple members of your former teams, Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins, in just a little bit. But I'm going to start it off because we have some news. On Friday, our Adrian Wojnarowski broke a story that you signed with Excel Sports and you're now eligible for name, image, and likeness deals as a golfer. So what led to that decision?
Honestly, going through the process and going through, playing high school basketball and seeing so many guys go to these big powerhouse schools and, the schools be able to profit off of their name and likeness, it was something that really pushed me to go to the NBA. Now that I'm able to, participate in college sports and have this platform to be able to outreach, obviously, so many from my previous occupation. It just makes sense to myself. And more than anything, I just want to generate money for the HBCUs and try to put them in a better situation than we're in now.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of your previous occupation, your transition from NBA player to collegiate golfer made national headlines. And in December, you announced on Instagram that you earned a 4.0 GPA in your first semester. So what did that mean to you?
It's amazing. Coming from where I come from, and you know, a lot of the situations in the school system is not, it doesn't really benefit people who look like myself. So you're easily classified as, you know, certain things that you can't achieve and certain things that you're not able to obtain. So for myself, going through school and being a struggle for me growing up to obtain a 4.0 and actually achieve it, do the work, sending the tutoring sessions, doing the extra readings and all of that, the whole process, it makes it that much sweeter.
I want to bring in one of your former teammates, Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins. But, Perk, I think you wanted to ask a question.
No, I'm going to go first.
All right. What do you got, Richard?
So, Swish, look, first of all, congratulations. Like, we know you and Perk are both part of Cash University. You didn't go to college. But my question is this. Will you be the first person to leave college early from golf and so be the second person, to do it twice? So not go to college and then leave college early and turn professional as a golfer?
I don't think so. I think there's a few people ahead of me who've been really successful in that sport to be able to do that.
Oh, you're just,
that was a horrible question.
It wasn't anyway, that good. I didn't have much.
Hey, Swish, it really was. Swish, great to see you, man. I'm proud of you. Look, I have a question.
See you too, bro.
Going from a two-time NBA champion, winning Sixth Man of the Year, having a hell of a basketball career, stepping onto a college campus after that, I want to know, like, how it felt, because I know you had to put your pride aside, humility and things like that. I just wanted to know how was it for us fitting in with the others and everybody recognizing who the hell you are?
At first it was kind of weird because it was like, you know, I'm a freshman and I got people who are, you know, juniors, seniors,
right,
who are, you know, obviously 15 years younger, some of them 15 years younger than me. So it was like, you know, being at the low end of the totem pole is kind of humbling. Being able to purchase the seniors' Gatorades and stuff like that, it's a humbling feeling. It makes you feel like a rookie again, but it's also that learning stage, being able to be that empty glass and continue to have these guys give me all the information and learn from them and learn from the young women on our team as well.
Whoop. It looks like we might have lost your video for a second. I think we can hear you, but I'm not sure we can see you. But I have the important questions here, JR.
Yeah, there we
ready?
Go. We need to see.
Oh, there. We got him back because these are important, and these are rapid fire. So I'm going to give you a this or that.
Yeah, okay.
And then, all right, you ready?
Cool. Yep.
All right, let's do it. So better teammate, Perk or Richard?
Oh, man. Better teammate, Perk.
Oh,
100% agree. All right, what do you like more, golf or basketball?
Rich. Say again?
What do you like more, golf or basketball?
Basketball.
What's more nerve-wracking, playing in a golf tournament or the NBA Finals?
Playing in a golf tournament.
Ooh, best golfer in the NBA?
Steph.
Would you celebrate a golf win the way you celebrated a championship win, you know, with the shirt and that whole thing?
Oh, man, it might be worse. I don't know.
Wow, that's a statement right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Bro, you got to think, this is all me, like, by myself, winning the whole tournament in the field of, like, 60, right. 70 people?
Yeah.
That's
true. Like, you know.
Hey, I appreciate you, JR. Hey. I appreciate you, boy. You know how we rock.
Oh, you already know, bro. Yeah. You already know.
Whatever.
We appreciate you stopping by so much, JR. Last one for you. If you got a call for a 10-day contract, are you picking it up or no?
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
There
you're picking
go.
It
That's
up.
My first love.
First love.
I just want to tell you, Malika, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off,
no.
But I seen the thing with you and your sister. That was extremely dope. That's very inspiring for my girls. I know one of my daughters wants to be a model and wants to do TV and stuff like that. So see you and your sisters do that. That was amazing.
JR, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us on NBA Today.
Swisher.
Appreciate it. All right,
y'all,
see you in the chat.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Suns, they are rising. Over the weekend, Phoenix became the first team to get to 40 wins. So can anyone in the NBA match their depth? NBA Today rolls on after the break.
Hey,
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I know what it's like in this league. I've been here for a long time, okay? When you have a good group, you relish it. We got a good group.
Yes, sir.
We got a special opportunity,
yes, sir.
Okay? From the bottom of my heart, I thank you guys for being who you are. Everybody back there, like all you guys contribute.
Yes, sir.
And you have been from day one since I got here. So this is just, this is like the mission stuff I talked about, yes, right? Sir. Our goal is different, but we got a mission. Yes, and I'm going to enjoy it. Like I can sit here and say, oh, it's no big deal. You know what? That would diminish what you guys do every day. Mm-hmm. That would diminish the blessings that God gives us every day. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Congratulations.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So that was Suns head coach Monty Williams yesterday after Phoenix became the first team to 40 wins this season. So their 40th win was also their 10th straight. And that means they now have two double-digit win streaks this season. Remember, they won a franchise record 18 in a row. That was back in November. And Perks Grizzlies, they're the only other team to win 10 in a row. They won 11 straight earlier this season. But this is all about the Phoenix Suns. So we'll start with Mr. Arizona himself, Richard Jefferson. Who can match the Suns' depth in the West?
I think it's just the Golden State Warriors. I think when you look at their depth and the way they've gone, whether it's Gary Payton, Toscano, Jordan Poole, you just go down the list, and we're not even talking about the superstars on their team. When you're talking about Draymond, Wiseman apparently is going to play basketball at some point in time. So it's like you just look at their depth and athleticism down the line. The Golden State Warriors look like the 2015-2016, where it's just a constant barrage of offense and talent that just comes at you in incremental spaces.
See, this is why I beg and plead for Memphis to have more national televised games. This is the reason why, so that people can see them. When you go down the line, I'm going with the Memphis Grizzlies, because when you look at their roster, you look at a guy like Steven Adams, you look at Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Baines, who could possibly win most improved this year. You have Clark coming in off the bench, along with Melton, along with they're missing Dylan Brooks right now. Look, this team is really, really, really good. Matter of fact, I believe that they have the potential to be the Cincinnati Bengals of the NBA. I really do. If you look at Joe Burrow,
that's in the finals.
If you look at Joe Burrow, that's Ja Morant. And if you think it's a game, just tune in to watch. Tune in to watch.
Why do you think that no one is watching the Memphis Grizzlies?
Because every time I'm the only person up here got a time, besides Malika at times, I just got to keep pleading every week for you to give them their damn respect.
And I give them
off air. You and Malika both said, I don't think they have the depth.
I don't think they have the same depth as the Phoenix Suns are a juggernaut. By the way, now Monty Williams is going to be the coach of Team LeBron. They have a number of wins to secure that spot, so congratulations to Monty for that. But the Phoenix Suns are... they are something to behold. What Mikal Bridges has become, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, they should both be all-stars. DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, the list goes on. Bismack Biyombo been balling is a bar, by the way.
Hold on, time out. Because the first thing is that
we disrespect the Grizzlies. No, they don't have the depth of the Suns.
Look, the Suns are the favorite, in my opinion. Like, I'm not going to disrespect.
What are we talking about?
The question is,
who can match them? That's what I said.
All right. Guess what? Just for you, Perk, somehow, some way, coming up on NBA Today, we're going to talk more about Ja Morant there's more must-see moments with the Grizzlies
three games
All-Star.
On TV.
I got you.
That ain't on
we'll
us.
Be back
we
in 60
don't pick, that ain't us.
What?
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Coming up, NBA Wednesday, the Grizzlies and the Knicks are going to be facing off. And speaking of the Grizzlies, we're going to see them. And then it's the Nuggets and the Jazz. We have that game on Wednesday, 7 o'clock Eastern. Countdown's going to start us off. And then we have our WNBA free agency special. LaChyna Robinson, Rebecca Lobo, Carolyn Peck, and Holly Rowe will fill you in on all the latest moves and breakdowns of what it means for the 2022 season. So be sure to tune in. So welcome back to NBA Today. It's time to take a look at the best plays of the weekend, the top of the top. And we're starting with Top Jaw. So
best play of the weekend, baby, but this too.
Just take it away, Big Perk.
I mean, just look. It's every week, every day. Look at him. Hey, don't hit him with the cabbage patch. Don't hit him with the cabbage patch. That's that Kyrie Irving.
Oh, he's feeling good. He's feeling good.
He out of line for that because D-Wade did that when he dunked on me. But even the dunks that don't count.
Wouldn't you let God do that to you if he dunked on you like that?
Can we get that tape of when D-Wade did that to you?
No, we don't need to get
that tape. Okay, that's fine.
But look, even the plays that don't count, we got to show.
Don't worry. We'll get that tape.
We'll get that tape. Okay.
I love that. All right, let's move along. Let's move along to Top Drops down in the Big Easy. Jaylen Brown, he was dropping bodies and dimes against the Pelicans.
Listen, don't run by the pool, kids. Like Toscano said, I told you I was going to steal that. Don't run by the pools. It is slippery, kid. Not out there. Hey, be careful.
That back. That ball was hard.
That bar is awesome. That's why you laughing. Don't play by the Don't run by the pool, kids.
All right, let's keep it pushing. Let's go to Top Posters because we start in Orlando where Wendell Carter Jr. exploded to the rim over Isaiah Stewart.
He's been playing well too. Oh, that's big boy.
Absolutely. We ready?
Been playing well.
Sorry for the 49er fan here. Come on, Malika.
Hang on. One more to watch.
Wait, what's the next?
Oh my God!
That was one of those eight dunks I was telling y'all about.
Oh my goodness! All right. Before we go, though, gentlemen, there's someone extremely important to ESPN and the ESPN family. Reporter Mark Schwartz is retiring after 32 years. So thank you for all of your years covering
the
NBA.
Thank you.
And yes, I know my Niners lost. So, Richard.
Yeah.
Here you go.